Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We are here on this beautiful Monday. People, I know you hear it in my voice. We are here on this beautiful, beautiful Monday for so many reasons. This is going to be such an enjoyable Monday morning. And just to get your Monday started off the way it's supposed to be, Steve Rummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
Crowd's up. They're ready to go. They're excited. It was a great weekend for the most part. That was a good weekend.
I will not let you lump your personal dismay in with the University of Louisville. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth in your purple. What's going on, Brian?
I did. I had to pull out the old school Vikings sweatshirt to get the purple going so that I had that Louisville City FC theme. But as opposed to what Steve said, I had a great weekend all the way around. So, including Vikings my fantasy good. Team that's Zeke Elliott-less.
Oh, it's too early to be talking about how good our weekends were when we're talking NFL football. And speaking of purple, hey, what's the deal, Louisville FC? Brian. Do we have tickets or what?
I'm assuming we could probably get some for you, Marcus, if you'd like to go.
Well, I'm going to need you to pass along the message because I'm hearing all these rumors on the streets about Louisville FC being sold out. And I'm like, hey, I was there before it was sold out.
Right.
I was there last week.
We might be able to make a call.
Yeah. Make a call. In a commercial break, make that call to our marketing people, Louisville FC, call over here. Make sure you got accessible seating for me and my man Rummage.
But if you don't have tickets.
Yeah, definitely get me some.
If you don't have tickets, though, you can watch it on ESPNU. It's at 9 o'clock.
Oh, no.
It'll be on national TV.
Oh, no. I am there. I was there last time.
That's
crazy, though,
in all seriousness, man. That's really cool.
It absolutely is cool. I mean, people, I need to get this off my chest at the beginning of the show. Asia Durr is a problem.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Louisville women's basketball over Ohio State. Goodness gracious. Way to get my night derailed. When I'm sitting around, I'm glowing about the football win.
Yeah.
I'm glowing about basketball, and she just stole the show.
This woman's basketball team's for real.
Here's the thing. In women's basketball, it's always like Louisville's had really good teams.
Right.
And I know this is going to sound a little crazy, but they had Angel McCautry. They've had Shoni Schimmel. You know, they've had like one player that sometimes you go, okay, hey, they're one of the best players in the country, maybe the best player in the country. But she feels Asia Durst got the little bit of that feeling, man. It's like maybe that's
player
different.
Of the year individual. Yeah. I can dominate an entire league, and win a championship type of feel.
I mean, that was the number 5 team in the country. They went in there. I mean, they went in there and took care of business. She dropped 47. What about Jeff Wall saying Sam Fearing? 7 charges in a game. Have you taken 7 charges
in a career? Go ahead and say
have you in an entire career.
Ironically, Steve Rummage, we will address some of your backhanded comments that you've been making. Actually, I led the team in charges taken 1 year.
No, what did nobody take charges? That may have been your problem right there.
No, I probably didn't lead the team in charges 1 year, but I did used to get a lot of props for taking. I was good. I was good at flopping.
Hey, that's fair.
It's
a charge.
A charge. Like I was my balance is pretty good.
You never took 7 in a game.
Never.
I don't think I've taken 7 in my career.
Listen, I take one charge to make sure everybody knows that I'm willing to take a charge, and then Steve. I was top 5 in the country in block shots as a 2-guard. Like, why would I sit around and take charges? I don't need to take charges. You kidding me?
That's fair.
Don't look at the stats, Steve.
Okay.
Not okay. You know you got yours coming. Okay. We're speaking of stats. But again, Asia Durr, problem child.
And the whole women's team, man. I mean, Keyshawn's Allen, they're doing their thing out there, man. They got a shot this year, man. It's going to be fun to watch, and we're going to get out to quite a few games this year, man.
And Coach Walls, like, I almost want to let him know that I keep his historic rant almost on replay. Like the spirit of Jeff Walls lives in me because when he says in his famous speech, no, you're losers, you know, like, there is no – There's no trophies. There's no, you know, Brian, do you have that? Because I just want to give him one moment of credit. Please, Jeff Walls, make me feel better.
But boy, I hate losing. Absolutely hate it. And if you don't hate it, then that's a problem. If our kids aren't sick tomorrow, and if it's not in the pit of their stomach on Sunday going, I've had enough, then we do have serious problems. Now, there going to be some, you know what, if we sprinted back and we got in defense and they make shots, they make shots. You know, like Walker Kimber made a few really tough shots. There's nothing you could do. Good shots. But when you give them a layup because you're not sprinting back, well, that's a problem. You know, and that's, you're not going to win every game. I'm not foolish enough to think that. Okay, I'd like to, but we're not going to. But the effort has to be there. The execution has to be there. If you lose because you miss shots, that's fine. Now, losing because you miss free throws is a different story.
Unacceptable.
And I'm not calling any of them out. It's just the facts. Like, it's facts. This is the problem. Everybody's going to be like, man, you called your player. No, I didn't. It's just facts. It's on the stat sheet.
Yeah, it's there.
Hit the free throws.
You know, it's okay, people.
Okay. It's okay to call
it out. I've got to sit here and go home tonight and figure out how are we going to fix this. Because it's on me.
Well, what are you going to do, Coach?
It's on me. I recruited these kids, so that it's on me. And I got no problem saying that.
And hit the desk.
But damn it, what we're doing, it's not just status quo. We aren't going to come to practice and hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Just watch your language, Coach.
Promise you that.
Promise you that.
So we'll see who wants to be here.
Right.
Because it's work. We're at a point right now, it's work.
Yeah.
You know, you got to come out here and you got to work to be great. And that's what we're trying to instill in these kids. It's not just about winning basketball games. It's about winning in life.
That's good, Coach.
Thank you. I want them to be great. I don't want them to just settle to be average. Why go to college and spend all that time studying to be average?
Jeez.
I mean, who wants to do that?
Not me.
Not me, Coach.
You cut out my favorite part when he talks about no trophies for
second place. That's a whole different one.
Yeah, that's the one I meant. That's okay, Brian. It doesn't matter. People understand the point.
He gets the point, yeah.
That's a coach who comes out and says, I don't do yellow ribbons. I don't do second place. And anybody who wants what's the reward? What's it called? What's the word of the year we use? The losers always want a consolation prize kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
participation.
But yeah, participation trophy. Right, right. He said, if you want a participation trophy, you're a loser, and we're raising a bunch of losers who are okay with AAU participation trophies. And that's like my last thought before we start. I don't want second place, Steve.
I know. Well,
good job, women's basketball. Yeah, we will definitely have fun with this season, absolutely. Yep. But Steve, speaking of good job, where are we going to start today? You know what? Let's just start our weekend in perfect chronological order.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And let's just go straight to the football.
Let's do that.
Let's go to the stadium, and let's go to the nervousness of who's still in and who's already checked out, because that was a question that we had to ask. Steve, I got to tell you.
Right.
I heard more people talking about the crowd in the first 3 minutes of the game than I've heard the entire year. Right? Like, people who could not wait for it to be a bad crowd had already decided it was a bad crowd for Virginia.
I think so. No, that's fair.
No. And here's where you get involved, because is there a measure of, like, decibel level energy for that crowd? Do you get a little bit of a pass to say, hey, by the time the game got revved up 8 minutes into the game, It was a crowd. And I listen to people, you know, walking on this crowd's not that, you know, just negative crowd, not right guy. And I say, you know what? Go bring out the tape of Virginia versus Florida State. Go bring out the tape of Virginia versus Boston College. Go the 50% less of a crowd than Louisville had, right? Like, it's like the community. It's the zero to Alabama effect, you know, just like anywhere in between having a full house is a terrible crowd.
Well, I don't. I agree. But now let me say this. I mean, I think it was a pretty good crowd Saturday.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I thought it was late arriving. You said that, actually. I'll give you credit on that. I mean, but I thought it was a good crowd overall. And if you're going decimal level.
Somebody said B.J. Flynn probably took 7 charges. I guarantee.
Now that's, he has that, a yeah, 7 no, charges. If this was,
good call,
if this
was
middays with B.J. Flynn.
Yes.
Midday with B.J. Flynn.
Right.
I would be like, oh, yeah, well, my co-host definitely took. Like, my co-host went to bat. Like, my co-host was a hustle.
Mr. Charge guy.
Was the man.
He was tough. He was gritty. He was heady.
It's middays with Marcus Maven. And
yeah, just top 10 all-time scorer.
And we'll talk later. Yeah. We're going to talk about it, all right? Yeah, right? Let's go chronological order.
So chronological.
But I thought that, and if we're going decimal levels, I thought the crowd was really good against Virginia.
Yeah. Okay, and ask yourself this right now. Would you take 2,000 less people who sit in there and boo every time, you know, that you're not running up the score? Or will you take 2,000 less people, the crowd looks a little less packed, and they're cheering their brains out on every play? Because that's what I think it was. I think I almost think you weeded out the 2,000, you know, just the negative.
Yeah.
Oh, you get third and that, three and out. You know, just that team. Every time you decide to punt, you know, you get that crowd, that section of 2,000 that kind of starts the jeer and the negative kind of. The crowd that was in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium.
Well, again.
Was pumped.
Well, and it's why I love us as a crowd. I mean, it's because we are one of the smartest fan bases in America. And we've seen a little bit on Saturday and Sunday. I'll tell you
what. Sunday was ridiculous.
When we get there Sunday, we'll talk about that. But on Saturday, I mean, you've seen this crowd. When this defense went out, when my defensive coordinator, Peterson.
Get him, Steve. Jump, walk that plank right now, Steve.
We'll see.
10-year deal.
We'll see. Well, we got to keep it going. But
right.
But when they went out and they got a three and out, this crowd gave them love. It was like, yes. Like, we're not just going to go, well, hey, about time you did that.
Right.
No, they gave them love. It was like, no, this is what we want to see. Get the pressure. Right. Do your thing.
The crowd, you could tell, followed Jaire Alexander and started looking towards each other and saying, we were missing that guy.
Yeah.
Like, we were missing that guy. Like Steve, I made the point before the show. Do you remember what Jabril Peppers did to change the whole, you know, intensity of the Michigan defense? Like, they had him at 10 different positions. Wow. They had him blitzing at linebacker. They had him locking down half the field. Nobody wants to throw any – they don't want to run plays towards the side. They don't want to – you know, offensive coordinator.
Well, you seen how much it hurt him when he didn't play in the Orange Bowl.
Right.
I mean, Florida State, a lot of people forget that. Yeah, Florida State won the Orange Bowl, but – Peppers didn't play either.
Was on his way out. Like I said, like, what? And did we decide it was the Bednarik Award? Candidate? He was a defensive player of the year, Heisman Trophy candidate. No team does without that guy. You don't lose that guy the first half of your season and just
be LSU.
Yeah.
Go get 50 more.
Like, you don't do that. It does not happen. And the best of the best teams go down when they lose their Heisman level. You know.
Right.
I mean, you saw it right away. You saw him diving in, making hits, squeezing in between blocks. Like, the big plays, 6 big plays by a superstar player is the difference between 3 third downs, you know, third and longs that you don't get.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that's fair. And Jaire, while I'm not saying – I'm not jumping on your man and saying, hey, everything's fixed. They're fine. Nothing's good. I mean, you know, there's no problems. I do think, I mean, you've seen that. And it's not just Jaire Alexander. Stacey Thomas was healthy. Drew Bailey was healthy. I mean, there was a total healthy defense that you've seen. And it looked pretty good. I mean, now look, is Virginia the world beater of the world? No, absolutely not. I'm not going to turn them also into something they're not.
Right.
But I thought Louisville did good. I thought the defense looked really good. I mean, it was definitely their best game of the year.
Right. Athleticism, open field tackling, like, yo, those things that you see that are not scheme specific. You saw guys playing hard. You saw them winning their one-on-one battles.
Yeah.
You saw them getting off blocks. That stuff isn't, you know, isn't scheme specific. That's players still in it, still involved, wanting to play for this coach.
Well, and the one thing we want to do today is, look, if you're going to hate, at least show love too. Like, I'll listen to you hate if you show love too when it needs to be there. If you're just hating for the because you've just been a loser your whole life and you're just hating,
go get Jeff Walls, yeah. Get some therapy, and
then yeah. But one thing, Drew pointed this out this morning, and you pointed it out when it happened. I remember when Jair walked up to the line and started pointing at the receiver like,
that's a problem.
Hey, he looked back at the defense to say, y'all know the play, because this kid ain't going out for a pass. Like, you think they're throwing it to this white boy?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you kidding
Whoa,
me?
Whoa, Steve.
Like, well, he was. But, I mean, I don't really say that. But, I mean,
he's a big, Jair an evil person.
No. But, I mean, the point was, I mean, he was like, y'all know the play. This kid's here to block.
And he had an attitude about it. Like,
and he was right. That, I mean, and look, and I don't even know if that. I just know from playing football, he wasn't just pointing at him just for no reason. Just to, hey, well, I'm pointing at you to crap talk. He was doing that, but he was doing it in a way as to say, hey, we know the play.
Right.
Y'all know the play. Everybody look.
Right.
And they did it.
So we're at the football game.
But that brings
game.
It, man.
We're nervous at the football game. And Steve, while you have been mature enough to give me some credit on some of the calls I made during the game, let me give you a preseason. People, you listen to the show enough to know Steve Rummage and his little preseason man crush. Yeah, watch out for this kid, Day Williams. Steve?
Yeah.
We were missing Day Williams all year.
Oh, man. A healthy Day Williams all year.
We were missing Day Williams all year.
Yeah. I mean, are you undefeated? Yes.
No. And yes, Bobby, you get a little bit of flack for this one. But I will say this, in Bobby's defense, like, okay, sitting at the game, I'm mad at you, Bobby, because you haven't been running Day Williams some more, right?
Right.
But I do see a couple of possessions where Day Williams looked like he didn't know the assignment.
Yes.
I instantly said Day Williams probably doesn't know the playbook like he should.
Right.
He hasn't been in there that much to know the playbook.
Right. I think that's fair. I mean, there was a couple times. One time
they saw a real hardcore running back out there. And again, I don't say real as a slight towards Reggie. Reggie has four different positions four times. Like, listen, he gets all slack from me. You know, like, I give him more slack than anybody else is willing to give him. But Day Williams is a natural running back. Behind his pads, hits the hole, trusts his eyeballs. He is a difference between... At least give me that extra North Carolina State win, Steve.
Or Boston College even, or something.
Right.
There
was two games that you definitely said, okay, being able to move the ball a little bit. I mean, did you see the way the offensive line, just the offense as a package opened up after you get four big runs out of Day Williams?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember.
The entire package opens up.
I remember they go down the field one time. They start on their own, in their own 10. I think four straight runs from Day Williams. They're out to near midfield.
Right.
And we were joking about, you better not pass it.
Right.
But then they do. But it was wide open underneath. I mean, for I think it went around 13, 14 yards.
It was the simple pass that we've been begging for. No, I think it went 6 yards. But it was the simple wide open out route that we've been saying, why isn't there any simple, easy reads, you know, out here? Day Williams opens the
Which
up.
Is I do get excited looking for, and I'm not totally yet going to talking about next year, but I do want to mention this. It does get you excited when you think of Day Williams and Colin Wilson kind of tag team in the backfield next year. And if you do have a Juwan pass or somebody in there starting, that's gonna take a lot of pressure off of them, man.
And again, I see you right now, Texter. I see you you want to say you gave up this much to Virginia, who doesn't score a lot. But again, you saw the way it happened. It wasn't just, like, even statistically, if it still is not the best defensive performance, you still saw gamble. You saw playmaker. You saw in your face. You saw guy taking on a ball. You saw purpose.
Well, they did have the one play, and it may have been Dorian Etheridge blew the assignment a little bit, which he's been solid all year, gave up to the tight end, the touchdown. But if you're playing good defense,
I got a lot of agreement on Facebook Live and the text line. 38-31-93-9 is the text line, by the way. 81-50-93-9 is the number. A lot of agreement on the crowds. Like I said, like I was worried. Again, sometimes when you look at Twitter and you're, you know, who you follow and what kind of traffic gets across your wall. You know, we need a better crowd than this. I thought it was great. And I was worried that I was going to come in here today and sound like guy who's just being super positive in the face of craziness. Right?
Right. No,
I thought the crowd was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it showed up. I thought people showed up. They were loud. They were into the game.
Right.
I thought overall it was good, and I'm glad. You know, I feel like I said, I think they were appreciative. I think it was an appreciative fan base that was cheering the three and outs, that was cheering the forced punts, that was cheering the interceptions, that was cheering the things that it's like, hey, this is what we wanted to see.
Cheering the runs for a first down. Like, you saw what kind of energy that brought, just handing the ball off and powering 10, 12 yards, 16 yards on a, you know, off-tackle type of run. It was fantastic, Steve, and I needed it in my life so bad.
I think that the majority of people right now are fully behind this team, saying if you can win these last two, Syracuse and Kentucky,
say it,
and get a bowl win.
You're going to get in trouble for saying this.
A good bowl win.
You're going to get in trouble, Steve.
I think people are saying, look, we can be happy.
You're going to get in trouble for saying that.
Okay.
Can you imagine how positive you sound? Like I said it before, you know, during the bye week, you give me a good win over Virginia,
right,
a good win over Syracuse, and beat Kentucky. I feel like we let two games get away.
Yeah.
But this is still a good football team and a good football season, and I'm loving it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm feeling good about my recruiting. You know, Lamar Jackson, like, we sent him off the right way. Like, I'm okay with 100% how this whole thing unfolded.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that... And in the face of losing an athletic director in the middle of all this, like, total public turmoil. Like, you let two get away because you weren't, you know, you just weren't on balance.
And then I think your bowl game could end up being a celebration. I really think if Louisville wins their last two games, I think it's all but guaranteed Louisville's either in the Tax Slayer or the Music City. And those bowls have a weird thing where one of them's got to take an ACC, one of them's got to take a big I don't know, it's goofy how it works out. But if that's the case, maybe a bowl higher is like, hey, no, we'll take Louisville. You know, I mean, we'll take that. You know, I mean, so, and when I say higher, I'm not saying New Year's Six, but maybe if the Citrus Bowl
these bowls care about money.
Yeah,
they care about money and getting the right, you know, the right.
That's not out of the question. But my thing is, if you get a bowl game that you, even a Nashville. Well, I think the Music City Bowl. A lot of you go. You look at the a lot of us.
We're
look
going
at
to
the
Nashville.
Name and go. Ah.
No, we're going to Nashville. Nashville
well, my
is
point
a location.
Is, think about what that bowl would be. I don't like this, but I mean, you would have the Kentucky Louisville game played that day. Basketball, and then you would be in Nashville, and after
load up at bars.
Louisville does what they're going to do to Kentucky and Rupp, which is going to be funny. you're going to have an excited fan base down there. I mean, my point is, there's bowl games you can get behind that I think at the end of the year you can feel like we let a couple get away.
But
you know,
it's patched.
It's good.
It's not patched. It's again. It's almost like it, you know, anything. Here's what I described it as, my weekend as a Louisville sports fan.
Yeah.
And I think today's game was, the Saturday game was almost a microcosm of this. I said, when things happen that are not great, you get a lowered expectation.
Right.
Right? But it's not a permanent lowered expectation. You get a setback, and then you kind of you get that attitude you want to salvage the year or salvage your, you know, your thing. And then some of your best work comes out of, like, the desperation. And that means the fan, you know, 8150, 93.9 is the number, 3831, 93.9 is the text line. I felt like the players, the fans, the coaches, not a desperation pressure, but
I think that's a good word. Because I think it's used not in desperation, like, oh, we can't. I think you're not saying because of the teams on the court. I think just the whole everything that's been going on.
Refocusing. Yeah. Again.
It's just desperate to get back something.
Okay, there was a refocusing. There was a refocusing on possession by possession.
Oh,
like you could cheer for Lamar Jackson escaping the pocket and throwing a 4-yard completion. Yep. That's on Lamar Jackson. Your Jalen Smith end zone.
Oh my gosh,
catch,
the one-handed catch.
Your Lamar Jackson scramble pocket, and I don't even want to say scramble, pocket awareness, sliding up in the pocket,
yeah,
exit door. I mean, these are the phrases that you use from the best quarterbacks, your Tom Brady, your anybody who you expect to be a professional quarterback, moving up in the pocket.
Yeah.
Doing a little magic that these other guys can't do.
Right.
Flick of the wrist, one-hand catch. You got to appreciate it. You got to stick it right on SportsCenter, like what Louisville loves to do.
And to watch, there was, after the game, they had a few of the players up, and one of the groups they had was Day Williams, Jalen Smith, and Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
And to watch them three, like, I watched that, and I said, I don't know, I think they will win out. Because to watch that, and to watch them just how they, I seen one of the texters say this, and I couldn't agree more. They looked like they were having a good time.
Right.
I mean, that almost looked like the, hey, all right. Yeah, right. A little bit of swag back
right,
there.
Almost
like
the pressure of expectation is gone.
Yeah.
And again, people, if you've been a Louisville fan for anywhere longer than, you know, 7-8 years, you know you're always the hunter. I always talk about this all the time. It's like the hunter mentality is back once you get kind of knocked on your butt. You know,
yeah,
you realize this does not seem like the town that handles success as far as appreciation very well.
Right. You almost need to be the hunter.
Right.
You know, and the thing is like, and again, I'm saying, I'm watching that video and they're like, and Jalen Smith's talking about, I mean, Lamar Jackson does this and he's amazing. And you know, and it's funny because then Lamar Jackson pipes in and kind of says, yeah, I mean, coming from the guy who just caught the ball with one hand.
Right.
You know, and they're the all
mutual
right.
The mutual respect for the teammates and the appreciation.
And you see a guy like Day Williams who sits over there and kind of, he makes the comment kind of like, man, I thought I had a good game. Like, you know, like, I mean, there's just but they all were playmakers. And that's kind of, if you start to get that vibe going again, like, watch out these
let's grade it. Crowd, offense, defense, coaching. This simple gradings. 81-50, 93-9. Let's just throw out some grades. Let's throw out just your general feel. Offense, I thought once you got Day Williams in there for a couple. I mean, if I have to record my voice of reading the playbook out loud and giving it to him so he can put the headphones in. You know how you can just play your playbook in your sleep? Like, I would personally do that to make sure he knows his plays.
Yeah.
I would also put that in Bobby Petrino's ear subliminally. I need more runs.
Right.
I do need more runs.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair.
Offense looked great.
They did. They looked good,
they,
man.
They've always been one step away. I know.
They really haven't. It's hard to. And again, and my buddy Clay will tell me this all the time, I agree. He's like, you can't just look at the numbers. I understand that.
But that's what I'm saying. Watching 6 yards that should have been 15.
Yeah.
They got to the 15-yarder now.
I agree, man. And it's like, but they did make plays in the offense. So, I mean, I'll say the offense was a steady, I mean, I don't know, B+, A-. I mean, they did what they're doing all year.
Defense, we're normally at D range. Let's keep in mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, because part of you wants to go, I give the defense an A+.
No.
Because
C is it a market upgrade, a markedly big time upgrade from where they're playing.
I'd have to give the defense in the B range, man, because I thought
C+. No, more.
I would listen to that. I would still go with the B myself. It's because I thought they were on. I don't think there were a lot of plays Virginia had a couple drops. But drops where there were guys around.
My defensive end gets around the corner. You get your hands on that quarterback. He has to go down. He has to go down.
Yeah.
I need more. You know, like, yeah, I need to get into the B range. You're right.
I mean, like,
I know what you're
my
saying.
My thing is, like, and then you got James Hearns has three forced fumbles. I mean, I feel like there was pressure that caused plays. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, though. I wouldn't go higher than a B- just because you want to curve it.
Right, right.
See, and if I'm curving, I'm like, well, God, that was an A+ compared to what I seen last week.
Right.
or 2 weeks ago.
So overall performance, like I said, you a couple of times third and longs. You can't give up those.
No, they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect.
You can't give up the easy third and longs to the Virginia.
Yeah, like I said, you had the botched assignment, but that was clearly one guy made a mistake, wrong read, whatever he scored. You can get over that.
Okay, so let's ask the uncomfortable question. Let's ask it right. Ask it right now. You were ready to fire Bobby at halftime.
Oh no, I'm not that bad.
You're right. But you understand what I'm saying. We're in an environment, people, where there was an angry mob for halftime not getting that kickoff.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, because I mean,
especially when you're a team that always receives the ball first, it's like you cannot. Shall not let that happen again.
But then you also got to say, I mean, yes, and it always goes back to the coaching, I understand. But as much as you want to go, oh, Bobby, but it's like, I mean, it's your quarterback too. I mean, Lamar, like, you got to know I can't throw a six-yard pass in the middle of the field if I need 7 yards for a first down with 14 seconds.
Right. Like just
now, part of you goes, so I get fan that goes, well, why are you even running the play there? I get it. But if you got 14, 15 seconds, you should be capable of running a play.
A fake out and out, out and up on one side and an out route on the other. Yeah, maybe not, get one.
Get rid of it. I mean, but you throw that pass and you can't really blame the receiver as much on that in that scenario. Sometimes you can if they don't go out. But I mean, where he caught it, he was tackled the moment he caught it. I mean, the only thing I would have asked is maybe drop it.
Yeah, and to ask a receiver to naturally drop. It's like the worst play on the planet to me, Steve, is when you just went up four or something, or you just went up three. And there's only like 2 seconds, and the coach says, "Miss it on purpose."
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, I miss this. Like, what do you want him to do? Slap the ball down? I mean, while they would get credit for that. I'm not missing
this free throw on purpose, coach.
Right.
I'm not missing this free throw on purpose.
To heck with the team. You know what I'm saying? Forget the team.
Steve, it's so petty. I was being sarcastic.
I got 29. I'm 130.
I looked at Steve's face, and he was 100% sincere. Quick commercial break. We're rolling along. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. Be back in a minute on 93.9 The Ville.
On Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy 3 medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. Don't get shy, fellas. Don't get sensitive. Look, we love DFHcompany.com. It's okay if we let everybody know that sometimes we have to make sure we get our reads in. We got waiting on line, Larry from Orlando. Thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Start us off.
Gentlemen, I got the best medicine I could have in the last 6 months. I very much enjoyed this weekend. A good win by our football team. That defense looked great on TV. The whole atmosphere of this weekend, the men's team Sunday. And then last night, the icing on the cake, guys, my wife fixed me a good dinner. I had some good sweet tea. I was watching the girls' game. What a comeback by those kids. They were up by 8. They got down at the very last. They went in overtime, and Asia Durr took over. And she is one. Isn't she a fantastic player, guys?
Representing our she's incredible. Team. Yeah, she's incredible.
She. I mean, I told Coach Walls today. I got to speak with him on the phone earlier on Drew's show, and it was a good thrill for me. But I told her, I said, she's the epitome of not only athleticism and representing our school, but to me, she's a fine young lady. I've had the pleasure of meeting her one time, and she was very, very good to this UofL fan. And I'm going to praise all our student athletes. They've been through a lot in the last 2 or 3 years, And they always step up. I mean, they represent our university. I'm so proud for that. And there's not many fan bases can say that about their student athletes. I don't care what they say about Louisville. Louisville always steps up with the student athletes and the fans. And our fans are some of the most knowledgeable fans in the world. And I can attest to that. I've lived in all kinds of places, different atmospheres, the whole bit. But like you were saying earlier, Steve, our fans are probably the best fan base in college, football, basketball, any sport. So, anyway, I'm going to get off my rant. Steve, sorry about the Falcons beating up on you yesterday, but that's life, right?
Yeah, that's you take the good with the bad, Larry.
I appreciate the call, Larry.
Appreciate it, man.
No, Larry's call was – it almost threw me off track because – you know, sometimes some people are so nice that it's hard to carry on, like, you know, angry conversation. But it's time. It's time right now to address the enormous elephant in the room. Now, Brian, you've watched our relationship, our budding radio takeover. You've watched it from the front row, from seats almost as good as our seats at the at the Yum Center. Oh, I love it.
They're good.
Point being, they are really good, aren't they? Point being, you watched this from the front row, Brian.
Yeah.
Now, it's about that time to ask the question that was unavoidable. The impending doom, the breakup, the new addition that turns into Ralph Tresvant going solo. Do you know who Ralph Tresvant is?
Absolutely not.
You know who Belle Biv DeVoe is?
Did they sing? Were they singers?
New edition. Guys went solo. Okay, basically it's the R&B version of Straight Outta Compton.
No, that's why I don't know it. R&B.
Bluegrass, Bluegrass, R&B. Point
being. You still wine and dine girls with Boys to Men, don't you?
You damn right. That's a proven effective. Saying wine and dine girls. Like stop putting plural S's on my whining and dining. My whining and dining is my business. Point being, Brian, there was a moment on Sunday. Shout out to Aloft for hosting the pregame show. Before I go any further, I had to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a moment. I'm going to do this show like a Pulp Fiction moment. People, I need your opinion. 8150 939 3831 939 is the text line. I need your opinion, or I need some kind of pep talk from you. Brian Hall, you've watched it from the front row, and our relationship is going to end. Steve and I are going to be done. We're going to be done, Brian, because after.
Not surprising.
No, it's absolutely not surprising because I need to go back just a couple of hours to approximately the time where all Louisville fans were at like the height of their enjoyment. You got that football win. You got out for Sunday. You watched it on TV. You got that basketball win. You got to see freshmen really deliver in a game. The future is like bright. David Padge is doing his thing. Like all these positive things are going right. Then we go to Steve Rummage's Twitter. Steve Rummage tweets out something. Steve Rummage tweets it out, and I'm looking for it right now. Steve, if you want to go to it before I do, you know what I'm talking about. Your tweet. No. At the end of the game. Here it is, right here. Not 15 minutes after the game ends, my former co-host, Steve Rummage, tweets out, "With their performance today, Jordan Wara and Darius Perry have passed at Maben 939 on my list of all-time greats." Repeat. "With their performance today, Jordan Wara and Darius Perry have passed at Maben 939, which is Marcus Maben on Twitter. People that don't know, I am at Maben 939 on my list of all-time greats. Now, people, you've heard Stephen Rummage. At what point does the dig just say, you know, okay, we can't work together anymore? You cannot put Darius Perry. I love him. I love Jordan. You cannot watch a game against George Mason and immediately catapult them to the top of your pantheon of all-time greats. And you work with me on a daily basis. What's wrong with you, Steve?
I thought it was fair. I mean, from watching the games, I mean, just what they bring to the table.
Well, they are the sixth and seventh man on an undefeated team right now.
Yeah, I mean, and sixth and seventh man for how long? I don't know.
Oh, man.
At least one of them. There's one starter people, in the lineup.
It's taking its toll on me.
But, I mean
Steve's blatant disregard for the University of Louisville history. Daryl Griffin walks by, and you know what Steve is doing? Watching a game. Everybody, what would have happened if when Maximus started doing his thing, and you remember when Maximus was on the come up and everybody was like, you know, strength and honor, you know, Maximus, hail Max. Everybody, when Maximus started going out in those arenas and everybody just bowed their head and was just like, yo, this dude's the man. You know what I'm saying? Watch out. Like, what if one of those guys wouldn't have said strength and honor? You know, what if Maximus just looked at one guy who looked like he wasn't on the team?
And he was just like, hey, man, I'm trying to catch this fight over here.
Steve is the one guy in the arena
in the middle of the game.
I mean, he has royalty. He has Louisville basketball royalty sitting to the left of him. He has royalty walking behind him.
Think a lot of Kelly Dickey.
Steve Rummage is supplanted in the historical lore of Louisville sports. I mean, he has no appreciation for people.
My lore was down six to George Mason at the time, so I had problems.
I did realize,
and that's funny you say that, because the way, and I'm going to have to catch his name. I don't even know if I want to give his name, but the way the police officer looked at me, like, you just let that man walk by, and you didn't even turn your head around.
You didn't give him his proper, you know,
didn't even turn your head around. Yeah, I thought that man was going to arrest me right there.
No, he should have.
And I'm looking at him like, sir.
We're down six.
Sir, I promise you, before this year's over, you're going. I've seen the way I acted during a George Mason game. I promise you, before this season's over, you're going to have reason to probably take me out in handcuffs. That's fine. Because I don't think it's safe for me to be there. I mean, the opposing team, Brian, runs
right past
that. Right next to me and Marcus. And I'm not sure that's a place I need to be at halftime.
Paint a better picture, Steve.
Like,
we are on the corner. We are right on the floor where the opponents come directly past. We get to hear everything they say. And if Steve Rummage, I mean, I'm telling you, this is game one of season one of post-Rick Pitino. And Steve Rummage, I'm telling you, people, I mean, Bobby Boucher, just put it in your brain. Steve Rummage is going to go the water boy on one of these opponents.
Like the four frat boys that were behind the bench last night,
Oh my God.
They were almost too much, man.
Steve
was, and I have nothing against frat boys.
Steve's gonna pick a fight from the press table.
I guarantee it. Think about it. These guys are at the opposite, like catty corner. They're at the opposite end of the entire arena.
Oh, they were obnoxious,
and
man.
Steve is locked in on four frat guys that are sitting. Dude. He's like, Marcus, I'm gonna kill these dudes, you know. And I'm like, you know, he didn't say that exactly, but he's like, these dudes, man, they're getting on my nerves. And I'm like, I'm looking around, people. Like, I'm literally looking around to the side, like thinking he's about to punch, because there's no way Steve is this angry at somebody who's not within 10 feet of us, right?
I know.
There has to be. And then I'm like, who are you talking about? He's like, those four guys right there. And I'm looking behind us. I'm looking to the seat to the left, to the right. And I'm like, what four guys? And he's like, over there, look. And I'm looking a little further. And he's like, no, over there behind the bench.
They're 50 yards away.
No, right? Like, Brian, 90 feet away. Listen. And then I'm looking behind our bench like, is somebody trolling our players?
Yeah.
He's like, no. Look at their team, and behind their bench, about six rows up, those guys are just getting on my nerves. And I'm like, my God, you do know we're under press row, right, Steve?
I don't do well, man. Luckily though, and we have a what's that?
Oh my goodness. I went an entire hour without telling everybody my newest, most important enemy in my life. I hate somebody more than I've ever hated someone in my life. I'm so glad I'm a positive person because I would open my show with the people I hate the most.
The suspense is going to kill me over the break.
Goodness gracious, don't go anywhere.
I'm intrigued.
I'm telling you about this.
He hates more people than you think.
It hit me like a ton of bricks, people. Good thing we got DFH company. If your AC breaks down this summer or fall, call our friends at DFH. They have 24-hour service and keep you cool. Visit DFHcompany.com or call 968-6222. Also, for the sunroom, the hard-to-cool sunroom, keep in mind Mitsubishi Mini Split from Mitsubishi Electric. Again, visit DFHcompany.com or dial 968-6222. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 DeVille.